Okay, morning. Today's daf is Yudches and Zmur. We're back on Yudzayin, we're on Yudzayin Amud Aleph, and we are towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay, we tackled the Mishnah yesterday with the end of the second parak of Temura, and the Mishnah discussed a couple of aspects regarding Temura, notably Shogei Kameizid, we treat in the world of Temura an inadvertent act just like we would an intentional act. What exactly does that mean? So you remember yesterday we went through four pshatim of the Gemara, exactly what that means, Chizkir, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlakish, and Rav Sheshes. Okay, and we, for the most part, finished that topic. And then we turned on to the next part of the Mishnah, and the next part of the Mishnah discussed what exactly is going to be the status of Klein B'Treifad regarding Temura. Now, we know that Temura can affect the Baal Mum, right? The Torah says, regarding the Temura, Tov V'Rav Ra B'Tov. It can go from a good animal to a bad animal, from a bad animal to a good animal. We know that bad is a reference to a Baal Mum. It's a blemished animal. Blemish just simply means that it has a physical imperfection on its external body. It's not going to render it a treifa. It won't affect it at all in any other halacha other than the fact that you can't bring it as a carbon. For a carbon, you need to be tamim. It needs to be perfect. This is an imperfected animal and therefore can't be brought as a carbon. Fine. What if the animal was a treifa? What if the animal was kalayim? What if the animal was a yotzei dofen? Meaning other disqualifications from the mizbeach. Can it receive kedusha through temura? That's the question. You can phrase it as a question. But the Mishnah quotes the name of Elazar, no way. Meaning that these things cannot be affected through temura. So in other words, if I have an animal with kedusha and I try to transfer it over, the kedusha over to another animal and transplant the kedusha saguf from this animal to another animal, otherwise known as temura, so it will not stick to an animal that is kalayim or yotzei dofen or treifa, any of the above mentioned. What's the difference? So that's what we saw also yesterday. The Gemara struggled with trying to articulate what exactly the difference is between the Baal Mum and these other animals. Essentially, what the Gemara comes out to is that these other animals are Muma Begufa, meaning they have some sort of intrinsic disqualification. The Baal Mum is not an intrinsic disqualification. It's kind of like an external superficial disqualification. Okay, that's more or less how the Gemara formulated yesterday. Right, it's inherent versus acquired. So something along those lines. Okay, that's the Gemara tried to formulate it as something I can eat versus something I can't eat, but that's also it's hard to say because by yotzei dofen you're allowed to eat that animal. So that's not the way to formulate it. Something like that, something which is inherent versus something which is acquired. Okay, and then we moved on to Shmuel's statement. I read the statement yesterday, but this is where we're going to start this morning. We're 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Amr Shmuel. So let's say like this. The animal's a treifa, and I know it's a treifa. Okay? However, we discovered that it's a treifa. There are treifas that are visible from the outside. Most of them are not. But again, for the purpose of this discussion, let's assume that we know it's a treifa. And I try to imbue it with kedusha sagof. I try to make it into a carbon. So interestingly enough, Shmuel says it becomes a carbon. And you're going to have to wait until it gets a physical blemish, meaning it. Fascinating. The animal could be a treifa without a physical blemish, sure, because treifa is internal. And the physical blemish is only external. So you're going to have to wait till it gets a physical blemish, and then you're going to redeem it.
Well, how do you know it's a treifa? It doesn't have a physical blemish.
Right. I'm with you.
CT scan.
Okay, right, CT scan. Thank you. Okay, you know they were progressive back then in Bavel, circa 3rd century. I'm sure. It's a fair question. I mean, now we can answer the question easily with our technology. But okay, anyway. So, but here comes out to a halachic oddity, a real bizarro scenario where the animal now is kedusha saguf, and I'm waiting now till it develops a blemish so I can redeem it, and then what? Remember, psulei hamukdashim, we've spoken about this a number of times, really is limited to only doing one thing, and that's to eat it. I can't work it, I can't shear it, I can't milk it. The only thing I could do is just simply eat the meat of this animal. That's really my limitation in terms of psulei hamukdashim. Now, this animal in question, although it has kedusha saguf, and I'm waiting now for it to get a blemish, when it gets a blemish, then what? I'm going to redeem it, and it's a treifa. So we can't eat it. So now what? So the Gemara basically asks this in the form of a question. Shema mina podim asakashim la'achil maklavim? Like, you can't do that. You're now basically waiting for the animal to develop a blemish, also that your dog is going to be able to eat it? Meaning that's not why we want to redeem kachim, that are blemished. The reason why we want to redeem it is so that we can eat it. You know, in other words, again, I throw around the term like everyone understands that pasnished. It's just simply not appropriate that something was a carbon and now developed a blemish, or now I'm going to redeem it so that now I can give it to my dog. I mean, that's just, it's not appropriate. Ela ema, osa kedusha. Now, again, we're gonna skate a little bit around these next lines of Gemaras. Ela ema osa kedusha lamos. So, the animal is going to have to be left to die. Meaning that, in Achinami, right, you're not going to wait until it gets a blemish. You can't wait until it gets a blemish, because then the only thing that we're going to be doing is just redeem it so that I can feed it to my dog. It's just no. So in other words, simply put, I skipped the whole parenthesis. So basically, simply put, the animal, we're going to have to let the animal die. Okay, because it has kedusha, and there's nothing I could do with the animal because the animals are treifa. Rav Oshi ama eno ela kemakdish eitzim vavanim bavad. So Rav Oshi disagrees. He says, no, if the animal is treifa, and I makdish the animal, you know what that is? It's like me being makdish a piece of wood. Me being makdish a stone. Meaning, at this point in time, because the animal is a treifa, I don't view it as an animal. I view it as an object. And what happens when I makdish objects? It only has value, kedusha. Kedusha is damim. Now, kedusha is a guf. Here, too, Rav Oshia disagrees with Shmuel, and Rav Oshia says, same story over here, it only has kedusha damim, not kedusha seguf. Good. In other words, you hear that, by the way, it makes perfect sense. It can't be offered as a mizbeach from the moment that I makdish it, so why should it be imbued with kedusha seguf? Do you get malchus for that? Interesting, I don't know. It's right now we're not even discussing the tamura aspect of it, meaning the reason why we got into discussion is because we were in the Mishnah, we were talking about tamura, trying to create a tamura with this animal, knowing that I can create a tamura in a bamon. Good, that's the Mishnah. Here, we're just jumping back one step, meaning not tamura, but initial kedusha. So here now we have a machlokus between Shmuel and Rabbi Oshia. Shmuel says that I can be makdishit with initial kedusha. Fair question, what was the point? Meaning it's a treifa, you knew it was a treifa. What was the point of that? And now you can't even wait till it gets a blemish, and now you're going to have to let the animal die. Again, it's all that strange, but...
Didn't we already have that, like, learned before that if something was blemished, it was like Teflon. You could never make kedusha out of it, like, no matter what you did to it.
Right, and this animal is not blemished. This animal is physically perfect. It has.
You're saying it's blemished, no?
I'm saying it's a treifa. Treifa is different. Treifa means that there's an internal organ that's punctured. Now, I can't bring it as a carbon, but still, in other words, Shmuel's position is a hard position to understand. And I see over here the Rambam's not following like Shmuel's position. It's a difficult position to understand how it gets the kedusha saguf.
He's maybe talking about the kedusha damim, maybe.
No, but he's not, though. I mean, that's the whole debate in the Mishnah, in the Gemara between Shmuel and Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia says that exactly what you just said. That's eino ela kemakdish eitzim v'avanim. It's like being makdish stones and wood. Meaning it's an object. It's not an animal. Legally, we'll treat it like an object. Okay. Anyway, here's what we get to do now. We're going to skip the next three, four lines of Gemara. It doesn't belong here. Again, I told you yesterday, sometimes it's just part of the trick of Tamura is just to navigate your way around the Gemara. Okay. So we're starting, I'm skipping about three lines of Gemara, and I'm going to start Tashma, where the Gemara now is going to try to determine which position fits in better with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Klein, Rotze, sorry, HaKalim, V'yosidofen, V'trefen, V'tumtum, V'andragos, Lo Kedoshim, Lo Magdishin. So we go back to our Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that any of these animals, including a treifa, lo kedoshim v'lo makdishin. Now, what does that mean? Amar Shmuel, lo kedoshim b'tamura v'lo makdishin ma'asos tamura. It can't be kadosh to become tamura, and it can't be kadosh to create a tamura. V'tanya, Amar Rabbi Meir, v'chi me'achar shein kedoshim me'echa makdishin. So then we ask the obvious question. Well, if it's not receiving kedusha, how do we ever get to the discussion of it transferring kedusha to another animal? How does that be? Okay? So the only case it would work, this is all, we learned this already, but the Gemara is repeating this just to make its point over here. The only case it would work is where? First I was makdish the animal, and then the animal becomes a treifa. That's the only way it would work. Where a treifa can have kedusha zagof. Now, did you just hear what we just did? The only way that an animal could have kedusha zagof is first I was makdish it, and then it becomes a treifa, which the Gemara now says, if think it through, ha-haisa treifa mikara, lo nachka like kedusha zagof. That means that if it was a treifa, so then it doesn't receive kedusha zagof. Right? And that obviously presents difficult for Shmuel, because Shmuel says, even after it becomes a treifa, it could still receive kedusha zagof. So, am lecha Shmuel, do mahachtana, na misavar kol hecha dolo chazil gufo, lo nach leke kedusha zagof. So, Shmuel says in his defense, where the Gemara answers on behalf of Shmuel, maybe this Tana happens to be of the opinion that if it itself is not worthy, so therefore it doesn't receive kedusha zagof. That's the author of this Tana, meaning this Tana being Rabbi Eliezer, but perhaps the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, and what he's now suggesting simply is that this is subject to a machlokes Tanayim, and I don't subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer, but rather I subscribe to the position of the Chachamim, and this is what what Shmuel would say in his defense. Okay? So that ends really that discussion. And so now we're left off with question, animal's a treifa, and I makdish the animal, I consecrate the animal. What kind of kedusha we're talking about? So Shmuel says we're talking about kedusha zaguf. Rav Oshia, these are Amoraim. Rav Oshia says it's kedusha damim. Rav Oshia's position is just easier to understand, in my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. Simply because the animal's a treifa, like it's not fit to be brought onto the mizbeah. So from its inception, we treat it like apes and vavanim. Good. The Gemara questions Shmuel's position. The Gemara attempts to defend Shmuel's position. And it seems like the Rambam, it goes like Rav Oshia, that it will not receive Kedushas Aguf, but rather only Kedushas Damim. Hadron Allah Yesh Bekarbanos. That is the end of the second parak of Temura. Okay. We move along. We're in the third parak of Temura on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Eilu Kachim Shevladoseim Usmuroseim Kayotze Bahem. Kachim where? Both the offspring and the tamura are going to be treated the same. Meaning, look, tamura is a carbon copy. Okay? And it's the second time I use that joke and that's it. I will not use it again. Okay? No, with no promises. Okay? So in other words, whatever the animal is, and then I did a transplant of the kedusha from this animal to another animal, so the recipient animal now will have that same kedusha. Again, you shouldn't do it, obviously. We've talked about that time and again. It's a lav, it's a negative prohibition. You're going to get malchus, but still, it works. It's effective. So the whatever kedusha I transfer from here to here, from A to B, so B is going to be A. It's not really B, it's really A prime, for those of you who enjoy math. And that's not just true for the tamur, but that's also true for the vlad as well. So in other words, this animal gives birth to another animal. Obviously, we're only talking about a female animal. This discussion is a limited discussion. Olas are only male, so we're not talking about Ola. And Asham is only male, so we're not really talking about Asham as well. And Chatas, by the way, we're not talking about either. Because what do we say about vlad Chatas? That animal has to die. So it's a limited discussion, but still. Shlamim, Toda. Oh, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so the tamura and the vlad. So these are different types of derivatives of the carbon are both going to be treated like the carbon itself. So elu kashrim shavladosim usmurasim kayotzim mehem vlad shlamim usmurasam vladan uvlad vladan ad sof kol haolam harehen shlamim. Okay, and in other words, I did the process of elimination. The Mishnah says these are all going to be shlamim, right? Why is the Mishnah only talking about shlamim? Because by process of elimination, what else are we going to be talking about, right? As we just discussed, not ola, not chatas, not asham, okay, shlamim.
But what if one of the male animals fathered the child? That wouldn't go. You're going to say that it's not black, but it's a
no.
Like a...
No. What we will discuss a little bit later this morning is what if it's a female animal? And I point to it and I say, Ola. I'll tell you what. I'm speaking too early for that discussion. Later we'll have that discussion. Okay. And basically now the Mishnah says, once we treat it like a shlamim, we're going to go all the way. Meaning, so this temura, which you shouldn't have done, but you did. So this temura now is going to have kedushas karban shlamim because the original had kedushas karban shlamim and I did temura. So now the temura animal, so smicha like the original, nesachim libations like the original, tenufa the waving right of the chaz v'shok like the original. Okay, so it's a regular shlamim with all the rules and regulations of a shlamim. And the same thing is true regarding the Vlad. The offspring also, same story. Meaning, smicha, nesachim, tenufa, chazev, shok, all of the above. Now, kevan detan of Vladan, uvlad Vladan, that's of ka'olam lamali. Now, the Mishnah is just a little bit verbose, but, you know, the Gemara picks apart the Mishnah. That's the Gemara's job. And so the Mishnah says, Vlad, Vladan, Vlad, Vladan. I added one, but. You get the point. Meaning the Mishnah talks about, you know, multiple generations, and then the Mishnah slaps us with a atzof kol ha'olam, like forever. And, okay, the Mishnah is obviously, you know, making its point, but a little bit verbose. So, lamali tana didan shmaila rev lazo damar vla shlamim lo yikrav shlamim. So the vamale tana didan lo mi bai bevladan de lo madina la fil atzof ha'olam lo madina lach. So we're going to introduce ourselves later this morning to Rav Elazar. If you look ahead to Yud Ches Amud Aleph, you'll see Rav Elazar Omer Vla Shlamim Lo Yikrav Shlamim. Rav Elazar is of the opinion that the second generation, not even the third, second, meaning the next generation, the offspring of a Shlamim, cannot be offered as a Shlamim. That's the opinion of Rav Elazar. And now that you know that, our Mishnah, which is arguing with Rabbi Eliezer, wants to make sure everyone knows how definitively we disagree with Rav Elazar. Not only am I telling you that you can offer the Vlad, I'm telling you can offer the Vlad. And afilu kol sof kol amnezer, you can go down as many generations as you want. Each subsequent generation will still have the same kedushas shlamim. Okay, so just, it's the foil, it's really the counterbalance to Rabbi Eliezer. Make sure that we know how much we disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Minahanimili detan rabban. And so the Gemara now wants to know, where does this come from? Where does these halachas come from? So Zach L'Rabbos is a Vlad. It's going to be a strange derivation. Meaning we understand how drushas work. There's an extra word, and so sometimes it comes to include something. So Zachar, the Torah says Zachar, this is Paragimel of Ayikra. This is where the Torah speaks about the carbon shlamin for the first time. Right? Perik Aleph is Ola. Perik Beis, Mincha. And Perik Gimel is shlamin. Good. So, and Perik Dalet is Chatas. Okay, it's not nice, easy breakup of Parshas Vayikra. You know, the unlearned Parsha of Chumash. So we're starting to get comfortable with it. So in Paragimel, we're talking about the Shlamim, so the word Zachar, Rashi explains how this word is extra. Rashi goes through how the Pasuk could have been rewritten without the word Zachar. Anyway, the word Zachar is extra, so what is it coming to include? The Vlad. Okay, it's a little bit strange because the Zachar doesn't produce a Vlad, but okay, you understand. V'alo dinhu matmur shein gidula hektish kreva. V'alad she gidula hektish enu din shei krev. So the Gemara says, now without the drasha, we almost had a good kal v'chomer. Like it was almost perfect. What's our kal v'chomer? Well, tamura is going to produce a facsimile, right? A carbon copy. If tamura is going to do that, and tamura, like it didn't even grow up inside this animal. Meaning it's a derivative, but it was created out of nothing. It was almost yesh me'ayin, if you will. Right? This animal wasn't a carbon, but now because I did temura, I did the exchange, this animal is now a carbon. And this animal will have all the regulations and rules of the original animal. Vlad, meaning just intuitively, this is the kal v'chomer. The Vlad was developed inside this animal, born from this animal. So if Tamur is going to have all the shlamim regulations, you don't think an animal born inside and formed in this is going to have the same rules and regulations? So the Gemara says, it's a good kal v'chomer, but it's not great. I'm sorry, Eino Noeg B'chol HaKachim. So it's not a great comparison because Tamura is universal. Meaning Temura applies by Ola, and by Shlamim, and by Toda. Okay, not by Chatas. Understood. But, in other words, it applies to a lot of Karbanos. Vlad only works by Shlamim. That's pretty much it. So, Eino Krav Hol, Ve'eino Noeg B'chol HaKachem. So, in other words, so the Kal V'chomer sounds good, but it's not great. There's a Pircha on the Kal V'chomer. So, Tamalomer Zach L'Rabbos Osa Vlad. Okay, good. So, excuse me. So drasha, we have to come back to the drasha. Kal v'chomer didn't work. We come back now to the drasha. We have the extra zachar in the pasuk. That's l'rabbos as a vlad that tells us that the child, the offspring that comes out, is going to have the same regulations as its mother. It will be a shlamim.
Why could you say like zachar could be like if you come with another concept? Why does it have to be like an offspring?
Right. I guess just simply because we know we're going to include another aspect of it.
So if you made a timur of a female with a male.
Okay, wait. One second. Let's just flesh it out because there's going to be a couple more of these drushes we're going to do. Nikeva l'rabos ha-timura. Now, the word nikeva mentioned there in Paragimel also is an extra, meaning the Torah could have done it without the word nikeva. See Rashi for how it could have been written without the word nikeva, but again, it's now an extra word. And so therefore, it's l'rabos ha-timura that comes to include timura. Ein li ala timura tamimim. Vlad Tamimim, Vlad Balimomim, Utamuras Balimomim Inayin. So the Gemara says, how about this? How about the animal is a derivative, but the source is a Balmom? So let's give a simple scenario. Let's say mom has a blemish, okay, a physical blemish, ears chopped off, right? One eye is larger than the other, whatever the case is. Mom is a Balmom. So mom can't be offered as a karban, but then baby forms inside, baby comes out, and baby comes out tamim. So interesting, can I offer the baby as a karban, even though really its source, meaning its mother, is not fit for a karban? Can the baby receive kedushas mizbeach, although the mother does not have, cannot be offered up onto the mizbeach? And the same question can come up by tamura, same basic idea. Where I do the exchange from one carbon to another carbon, the source carbon is a balmum, and I exchange it now to an animal that's not a balmum, to a tamim, can I now take that derivative animal and bring on the mizbeach, especially when you consider that the source animal cannot be offered up onto the mizbeach? Tamalomar imzach alarabos vlad balimumim im nekeva larabos tamurz balimumim. And the word im mentioned by both zachar and nekeva. So the Torah says im zachar, im nekeva. The extra im is coming to tell us, yes, even though mom's a balmum, baby that comes out, it can be offered as a karban. Even though the source animal is a balmum, the tamur animal can be offered as long as it's a tamim onto the mizbech. Good. Amle Rav Safra Labai ve'epachana. So the Gemara says, why don't, it's a little bit strange, why don't we just flip it? Meaning, why don't we, zachar, come to include tamura and nekeva coming to include the vlad? Right? Perhaps the question we were all thinking, it seems slightly more logical that the nekeva would be referring to vlad. Okay, mistabe mimakom shenizrab b'tamur tamimim nizrab b'tamur zbalei momim. So he didn't really fully understand the question because his answer was, well, if nekeva is coming to be the source for tamura, so im nekeva is coming to be the source for tamura from a balmom. So amar le mikamin lach lepoch im zachar im nekeva ana kulikra kamina. No, you misunderstood me. I wanted to just switch around everything. Not the im, but the im zachar, the im nekeva. And have im zachar talk about tamura and im nekeva talk about vlad. So, im zach l'rabbos. So, tamura nekeva l'rabbos is a vlad. Amar le, vlad lashon zachar mashma, tamura lashon nekeva mashma. Interesting answer. So the Gemara says, even though biologically we know that the women have the kids, we understand that, but grammatically, it's a better fit that the vlad, the word vlad, the actual word vlad itself, that's lashon zachar. So that's going to be derived through the word zachar. Temura, that's lashon akeva, right? That's got the kamatzeh at the end, right? One of the few rules I remember from grade school. So that means it's lashon akeva. So that's better served for the im nekeva. Even though, from a biological standpoint, it would make more sense to flip it, but grammatically, Okay. So Lamai Hilchasa. Good. All right. So far, so good. Now we have for us a Mishnah and a Gemara, and basically the point is very straightforward. Our Mishnah says that all the derivatives, meaning both the Tamur and the Vlad, derivatives of the Shlamim, will have the same status as the Shlamim itself. And, excuse me, and the Gemara just simply gives us the source, meaning it's a drasha. Meaning, we tried kavachomer didn't work. It's a simple drasha. The word im zachar, im nekeva, extra. So therefore, we're darshaning. Wonderful. The Gemara now wants to know, lamai hilchasa. So, what exactly, which halacha are we including it for? Rashi explains that this Gemara's question over here is going on the vlad of a baal mum. Mom is a blemished animal. Mom can't be brought on the mizbeach. Mom had a baby. The baby has kedusha. Okay, and the baby's kedusha now means that it's kedusha saguf. Mom had kedusha saguf. Baby's going to have kedusha saguf. But mom can't be offered on the mizbeach. Can baby be offered on the mizbeach? So it's funny. I would have said, yeah, isn't that what the Gemara just basically said? So the Gemara says, maybe not. I'm a Shmuel likarev aliba de Rav Lazar. So Shmuel says, yeah, it can actually be offered on the mizbeach. Now, sorry, let me give one word of background over here before we proceed with the Gemara, because the Gemara expects that we know this Mishnah, we will learn this Mishnah together momentarily, but let's just make sure that we're familiar with this Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up on Yidches Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah deals with the following scenario. Okay. For the female animal, I point to the female animal and I say, I'd like to dedicate this animal, consecrate this animal as an ola. That's strange. Plain and simple. That's a little weird. Because it's a female and the female can only be brought as a shlamin. Okay? So, and then this female animal that has kedushas carbon ola, it's obviously not going to be offered as a carbon ola, we all understand that. It gives birth, and it gives birth to a boy, to a male. So now, can I look at this boy and say, okay, mom had Kedushas Carbonola. Obviously, I can't bring mom as a Carbonola. Right? Imagine the scene. Go to the base of Mikdash and hand this animal to a Kohen and say, this is an Ola. The Kohen's looking at the animal. The Kohen's saying, what are you talking? It's not an Ola. No, but I invested it with Kedushas Carbonola. Cohen looks at you like you're crazy. Okay, and obviously he won't offer it. Fine. But it has a baby, and the baby now comes out to be a male. So what becomes of that baby? Machlokus in the Mishnah coming up later this morning. Rav Elazar says that you can offer the baby as a Carbonola, meaning that the Kedusha that you inserted into the mother is really a real Kedushas Carbonola. Obviously, it's latent, meaning it can't be actualized by the mother because the mother is not a male. Mother's female. But it's latent, and if the mom produces a derivative, in this case we're talking about now, a baby, that's a male, so now the latent has been actualized. The potential has been actualized. And if it had a female, so we'd be...
Nothing happened.
What's happening in the ordinary case that there's no blood? What happens if something...
The animal... I'm not meaning. Yeah, I will certainly have kedusha, right? And I guess you're going to have to let it graze and develop a blemish. So and the chachamim say no. The male that comes out cannot be offered as a carbon ola. Meaning the chachamim say that the mom has kedusha and the mom has kedusha's carbon, but it's not an ola. Maybe it means that it's earmarked as a carbon ola. Maybe it means that I'm going to sell it and the money that I get from the sale will be brought. You know, will be used to buy a carbonola. But it's not a real kedushas carbonola. That's a machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim.
Why don't you apply the same principle that we have for the kibay? Like when you consecrate a healthy animal to the kibay, it becomes naturally the highest carbon.
Right, it upgrades. But here, where are we going to... Where we?
Make it a shlam. So it's not, it can be an ola, so make it a shlam automatically.
Yeah, but shlamim, it's not a bad point. I'm just thinking out loud right now. Shlamim is not a real upgrade. Meaning Ola is the highest form of carbon we could talk about.
No, but it's still a carbon that it applies to. It could be like a default carbon. Like a bit of
I understand your point. I'm just telling you the Gemara doesn't...
It's an upgrade because otherwise you're not doing anything with it.
I understand. Okay. All right. It's a reasonable point, but for whatever reason the Mishnah doesn't go in that direction. Okay. So now that you know that machlokas, so now let's think about where we're holding right now. We are now talking about where mom's a baal mom, which means that mom can't be offered as a carbon. It's similar in structure, meaning this discussion that we're having right now is very similar to the Mishnah Daf Yudches. Mom can't be offered, and then it has a baby, and the baby's fit, so can I bring the baby? Right? Understand how the two cases nearly parallel one another. Okay. So, Amar Shmuel, now that we laid everything out, so now let's go through the Gemara. The Gemara hopefully will read well. Likari v'aliba de Rav Elazar. Look, the offspring can be offered, and our discussion over here parallels the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer says that when I invested mom with Kedushas Carbonola, and it has a baby, and the baby's a male, so despite the fact that I couldn't bring mom as a carbon, but I could bring the baby as a carbon. Here too, same thing. Mom is a baal mom, I can't offer mom as a carbon, but I can offer the baby, who's coming out as a tamim as a nola. Good. That's Shmuel's understanding. Look, because I might have thought that case is different than this case. In that case over there, according to Rav Elazar, mother has a status, right? What the Gemara over here calls shame ola. Mom has a status. Now, again, like I said earlier, you can't offer mom as a carbon ola, but it has the status of an ola, and that status is passed down to its baby. Baby now is a real ola. Good. Over here, however, mom doesn't have a status. Over here, mom's a baal mum. I might have thought that in the baal mum scenario, you can't say mom has a status. Mom's a baal mum. So you may have made the argument, well, I can't offer mom, I can't offer baby as well. And the chiddush is, no, you can even offer baby as a carbon, even though mom is ineligible. Good. That's one way to understand. Bar Pada Amar Liraya Valiba de Divrei Hakol. And Bar Pada says, no. When the offspring of a baal mum has Kedusha, Bar Pada says, not Kedushas Mizbeach, not that it can actually be offered, but it will be invested with the same Kedusha as its mother. What kind of Kedusha did mom have? Psule Guf, but Psule HaMukdashin. Meaning it can't be offered because mom's a baal mum. The investment of Kedusha to the offspring, same. Psule HaMukdashim. It's almost like bizarro world. Meaning the baby comes out, the baby's not blemished, but because mom is Psule HaMukdashim, baby will have same Kedusha. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Does it matter whether the mother became pregnant before or after the pregnancy?
It's so interesting that you discussed that. Here, I saw he brings up that very discussion himself. One of my cheat sheets over here. Uh-huh. Yeah, if you would like, he discusses it. I'll show it to you after. Okay. Rav Amar Likari Valibad Rabbi Lazar Rav Papa Amar Larai Valibad Divrei Hakol. And the Gemara brings down that this is a machlokas amarayim between, meaning we had it as a machlokas between Shmuel Bar Pada. The Gemara also presents it to us like a machlokas of Rava and Rav Papa. Okay, fine. Good. All right. V'haytana maisele mehacha. We are going to go through the same discussion that we just had, but using a different source. Rakad ashecha ela temuras asheyulach ela havlados. Tisa uvata. Your temura and your vlad, bring it. Parshas Re'eh. Bring it up to Yerushalayim. Now, when we say bring it to Yerushalayim, maybe, Havamina, maybe I might have thought, bring it to Yerushalayim and kill it. The Gemara later on will try to understand that, like, that's why you're going to bring it to Yerushalayim, meaning as a Havamina, even as a Havamina. It's just strange. Bring it to Yerushalayim and let it die in Yerushalayim. So Tamalomar Vasi, so Lasecha Basava Adam, Kedarkshata Noik Baolagata Noik Baola Tanoik Bitamura, Kedarkshata Noik Bishlamim Atonoik Bivladi Shlamim Uvitmura. Good. So Nope. In other words, just keep reading in the Parsha, and the Parsha says, and when you bring it up, when you bring it up, what's the it? The Vlad and the Temura, you'll treat it like the original. Karban, Shlamim, Ola, whatever the original was. Good. Yachol kol kadashim kein tam alama rak, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Now, I would have thought that this applies to all kachim. The pasuk says rak. We're excluding. Okay? It's a reasonable question you want to ask me. What are we excluding? Gemara later on will ask that very question. What's out of the discussion? Rabbi Kiva Omer Nutzar Chare Omer Hashem Hu Krav Ein Tamura So Kreva. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, what do you mean? You need an exclusion. I already know it's excluded. The Torah says, Hashem Hu, it's going to be an Hashem, and the Tamura is not offered. Okay, stay tuned. We'll come back. We'll understand Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva in just a moment. In the meantime, however, the Gemara is bothered, meaning Amar Mar, Tisa Vas Yachol Yachnesen LeBeis HaBechira, Menat Teisi Ha. So the Gemara says, Menat Teisi Ha, where's the Havamina? Kevin de Gemir, Chamesh Chataos Hanach Mikra Karvei. Look, the Gemara says, just by simple deduction, let's think it through. In the world of Chatas, here's what the Torah says. Vlad Chatas, no. When I say the Torah, by the way, let me be clear about this. Like we've been discussing these past couple days. Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Not mentioned anywhere in Chumash. This is just straight oral tradition. That the Vlad Chatas, the offspring of a Chatas, put to death. Temur's Chatas, put to death. Okay. So now, it's simple process of elimination. If we have a Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai that tells us that the Vlad Chatas is put to death, and the Temur's Chatas is put to death, what happens to every other Vlad and Temura? Carbon. Right? It's just simple deduction. If those animals are put to death, all other animals, meaning Vlad Shlamim, carbon. Temura Shlamim, carbon.
Maybe not.
Okay, good. So,
that's another option.
But that's what's going to happen to the Vlad Chatas. Why then would the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me about Vlad Chatas? I thought you were going to give me the Gemara's answer. Okay, so the Gemara is going to give an answer. So the Gemara says, again, that's a Havamina. It's a strange one, but it's a Havamina. Well, maybe the Chatos Mesos, the five big ones, well, right now we only have to focus on two of them, the Vlad Chatos and the Temuris Chatos, maybe they have to die, and they can die wherever. Meaning there's no requirement of where they're supposed to die. You can put them to death wherever. These other animals, maybe they need to die, but specifically in the base of Bechira and the base of Mikdash. Okay. Do I fully understand that? No. I'm being honest. Meaning, why would there be a special halacha of not only that they have to die, but location of their death? Okay, I'm not. What do you gain? I'm not sure. I don't fully get that, but okay, I'm still working. So the Gemara says, I might have thought this would apply by all kachim. So the Gemara says, rak, and rak is a miut. All rakin is a miut, achin is a miut. Right? Good. We're coming to exclude, in other words, there's an offspring of a carbon that's not offered. Which offspring are we talking about? So, ida ola zacharu vala barludahu. So you know we're not talking about the ola because it's a male, can't have a child. Good. V'ida chatas gimila demilf dekaime. And what do you want to tell me? You're talking about Vlad Chatas? That's already halach l'mosh misina. I don't need a pasuk for that. And ida asham gimirli delarai azlai. And you want to tell me that maybe it's talking about an asham, but we also have a halach l'mosh misina for an asham as well. Right? Dechol shebechatas mesa ba'asham ro'ah. That any time the halacha requires a chatas to be put to death, In a corresponding scenario by a asham, it's left out to graze and develop a blemish. Good. So la olam mechata. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer. The drasha of rak kadashecha, which means that there will be a karban whose vlad cannot be offered on the mizbeach. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the chatas. Huh? Don't we have a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai? But interesting answer coming up here in the Gemara. Ve'uchsa gemira la lamisa ukra lema'ute lehakrava. So the Gemara first makes the following suggestion. Well, maybe the halach l'moshe mi-Sinai is that it should be put to death, And maybe the pasuk tell me that I can't offer it as a carbon. The Gemara does like a double take. What? By virtue of the fact that it needs to die, doesn't that by definition mean it can't be offered as a carbon? V'ha behatalia? Aren't those 2 points related to one another? Kevin de la misa azla mimela lo karva? Okay. Elahilchasa lechatas ukra lemute tamuras asham. So the Gemara again makes another suggestion. Maybe the halach lamosha mitzina is for a chatas and the pasuk is there for an asham. So the Gemara says, Hanami hilchasa gemirla. Time kosha bechatas mesa basham roa. The Gemara says again, no, because again, we have the halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Krami beile di'i avro makriv kai ba'asei. Finally, the Gemara says the following. We have a halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Offspring of a carbon chatzis needs to be put to death. You can't offer it as a carbon. Good. What about the pasuk? The pasuk says, rak kachecha. Meaning there's an exclusion. You cannot bring a vlad of one of your carbonas. Which one is it talking about? The chatzis. Okay, good. What? What's good? I mean, we have the halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Why do I need a pasuk? I didn't need the pasuk. So now what the Gemara is asserting, and this is it, meaning this is the final answer of the Gemara, is that the halacha Moshe Mitzinai goes unpunished. There's no onesh, there's no punishment for halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Meaning, you can't do it. It's prohibited. Right? Torah says don't do it. But when I say the Torah, I do not mean it's in print. It's Torah Shabbat Peh. You cannot do it. And then Pasuk comes and basically provides a reinforcement. And basically, it now takes the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, puts it on the book, so that now it is
concretized.
It's concretized so that there's going to be consequences. Now here, yeah. So, right. I would love that to have been my next sentence, but I'm going to be fair and honest. It wouldn't work over here because over here, it's not a lav. It's an asay. It's a mitzvah asay. Meaning, it's a lav haba mechlal asay. It's a negative commandment derived through a positive assertion. Meaning, some karbanas you can bring, but not that one. Right? You understand that's a lav haba mechlal asay. That's a negative prohibition only derived through the positive action of what you can do. Here's what you can do, and by inference, we now know what you can't do. So, here it gets a little bit trickier, because I understand that now we've converted it from a halacha Moshe Mitzinai to now a on the books, on the Torah prohibition, and that provides now legal jurisprudence. That part I get, but because it's an assay, so I'm still puzzled by, so what does that give us now? Because an assay, you violate an assay. Yeah, I guess, right? I was thinking that also. But you don't have to. I mean, it's recommended you bring a carbonola. You're not chayv to bring a carbonola, right?
This is one of the 248, right?
Yeah. Agreed. I'm okay. I mean, in terms of how to count it as one of the mitzvahs. All right. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Anyway, sorry. I know I'm not. I'm trying to be clear about this point, but I myself am struggling with what does the asay add to the halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Omer, a little bit more for today? Yes. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Einot Tzarev, V'chule HaKrav, I'm sorry, HuKrav Ein Tamor Sar Kreva. Lameli Krav, Ayel Chosa Gemirla. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, what'd you just do? Meaning, I already know that you can't offer the Tamura of the Chatas. And Nachinam, Ela Krav, Lameli Mibay Lele Chedrav Huna. So the Gemara acknowledges, correct. Meaning, right on. We already know that through halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So what about the pasuk? Pasuk is there to tell us another halacha. Da'amar avuna ashram shenitak l'raya v'shachtu stam kasher l'shem kasher l'shem ola nitak in lo nitak lo. An ashram that's no longer needed, right? Let's say I lost a carbon ashram, I replaced it, and now I found the original carbon ashram that's no longer needed. You know what you can do with a carbon ashram? Strange, but it's true. You can now turn it into a carbon ola, okay? And it shouldn't be strange because we've discussed already a number of times, as recently at the end of the first perek, and then slightly more recently back on Daf Tes, okay, the Daf that Stuart took over. So we talked about how an ashram can turn into an ola if it's no longer needed as an ashram. Right. And here the Gemara's point is that it needs what's called nituk. Now, precisely what nituk is just basically a reassignment. I need to verbalize. I need to say, this was a karban asham. I'm now reassigning as an ola. It's the only time in the world of karbanos where we could do this, where we could talk about reassignment.
It's like a mistake.
It's a reassignment. You have the Torah gives us the opportunity to reassign. This is it. This is the only time that you could do that with a karban. All other karbanos, once assigned, that's it. It is its assigned karban. Here, Hashem can turn into an ola. So, you do your fifth parak of Zvachim every morning. Okay. Shameful admission, I don't do it every morning. Okay, but if you do your fifth parak of Zvachim every morning, you will see that the Asham is much more similar to an Ola than it is a Chatas. Meaning, you know, the Asham is basically like a Chatas. It's like a 2.0 of a Chatas, right? It's a slightly modified version of a Chatas. But that's in purpose. In form, the Asham really behaves more like a Karban Ola. Think it through. I mean, it really does work. First of all, the Asham is male, like the Karban Ola. Number two, how many applications on the Mizbeach? Huh? The Chatas requires four. The Asham only requires two, which is four. What's the story with the Ola? Same story. Two, which is four. Right. Meaning, in purpose, it's like a Chatas, but in form, it's like an Ola. So now you see it. You could almost see the Ola in the Asham. Meaning, if I don't need it for an Asham anymore, it can get reassigned as an Ola. Okay? Just food for thought. So, Nitak in Lo, Nitak Lo. And the Gemara's point over here is, what do we learn out from the Pasuk? Is that you need to reassign it. Meaning, it doesn't automatically transition from an Asham into an Ola. It needs reassignment. My Taima, Hu Be'av Yasto Yehei. Okay. Fine. The word who is coming to tell us that it needs a positive reassignment. So the Gemara says, okay, now, right, end of the sugya, we have now gone through two sources of how we know that the vlad of a karban can be offered like its mother. Either we learn it from the Zachar Nekeva extra words of Perigimel of Parshas Vayikra, or we learn it from the Pesukim in Parshas Re'e. Okay, Vayikra or Re'e. So, which one is it? Meaning, not which one is it, meaning obviously it's a machlokas. Why doesn't the second Tana appreciate or enjoy the first Tana's derivation? That's the Gemara's question. V'hai, ul'hai Tana dekal yalav mehai krate b'glim b'zachu nekeva mi b'alei levlad b'alei momem ul'tumors b'alei momem. So he says, well, in other words, I still need those psukim to tell me about where it comes from a mother who's a baal mom, right? Meaning what we discussed earlier this morning. V'tepikle kula mehaikra im lo mashmalei. So the Gemara says, well, he doesn't learn everything from those psukim because he didn't do what the first Tana did, which is first learn out the basic halacha from the word zachar in akeva, and then learn out the extra halacha from the word im. The extra meaning, what if mom's a baal mom? He didn't do that, right? We see this all the time in the Gemara, whether or not im is grounds, is open game for making a separate drasha. So the Gemara says, okay, now what about the first Tana who learns out these halachas of Vlad Karban, Vlad Shlamim? He learns it out from the Parsha of Zachar Nekeva, and he learns out, even if it's a Vlad Balmum, he learns it out from im Zachar and im Nekeva. What does he do with that entire pasuk in Parshas Re'eh? The pasuk which seems to be telling us that you take your vlad and you bring it up to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, "Afilu mi marayhu, or lishna achrina mi morigayhu." So what the first Tana does is he takes the second psukim in Parshas Re'eh and he makes a different drasha. What drasha does he do with it? So either the Gemara has two languages. The first one is Marayhu, and the second one is Marigayhu. We're going to go finish up today with two Rashis. Rashi of Mimarayhu. Rashi writes, Hai Tisa Uvata. Lav levladus to tomorrow's asa. It's not coming for vlad and tomorrow because we already got that from Parshas Vayikra. Peregimel. Ela lekachem asmam dekamazer leila asuye haya afilu hein bemar'eh be'efer. V'higiyaz man haregola alos. Your animals are right now currently very happy, grazing in your field in the back. And you're looking at the peaceful and tranquility of the animals, and you say to yourself, you know what? Why don't we just let them be? Meaning, I know I consecrated them as karbanos. I'm going to bring it up to Yerushalayim. I'm with you. But you know what? They're doing great. I'm reading Rashi. Eini torech achareihem levaksham be'agam ololicham. Right now, it would represent to me a major schlep. I got to go out into my backyard, large backyard. I got to go get them. I got to go bring them up. You know what? Let them be. Am timli ad pamacheres. Next yontif, I'll bring them up to Yerushalayim. So what the Torah needs to tell us is, no, don't do that. Go get them. That's one pshat. A difficult pshat, meaning the Torah has to tell you not to be late. Meaning, I understand. Yes, the Torah has to tell me not to be lazy. But that's a muster shmooze. I need a muster shmooze like right now regarding bringing a carbon. There's already a prohibition in the Torah of not to delay carbon. Okay, that's one shot. What's the next one? Momori gaihu. This one's going to be even more difficult. Rashi writes, afilu hein doshin es atvua. Let's say the animal is right now threshing. Bemori gam. The word morigin is a threshing tool. Okay, comes up a couple times throughout Shas. We've seen it already before. Damirin b'mnachus b'komitz rabba, my marige izei du korkasa. Right, Rashi reminds us back to the Gemara Menachos. The daishi dishasa neser gadol menuka v'yaseres kvuos bo v'nosan elsa osan ala tvua umar hiten alav esa behema. Okay, and Rashi then gives us a visual of what this threshing tool looks like. V'asa kra lamemar dimdasha behema shata rotzal hatish. Ut darkach muchan la alos regel lo tomar ho vidasha amtinat zman acher ela kachena velech lecha. You're saying to yourself, oh, you know what? This animal's so helpful right now because it's threshing for me. So you know what? I'm not going to bring it this yantiv. I'll bring it next yantiv. Good. It's the same basic idea as the first Rashi. But over here, we're just working with the language of the Gemara, morigayu, meaning it's threshing right now, so therefore I can't bring it up. So you know what? Let's keep it here. I'll bring it up next yantiv. And the Torah says, rak kadashecha, meaning bring it up now. What's the problem with this pshat? Tosas makes this point. You're already providing an answer to the problem. Meaning, if it's already kadosh, if it's already karbon, what are you doing working the animal and allowing the animal to thresh in your backyard? Right. What's going on over here? The animal has kedusha, right? Rule number one when you have a karbon, don't work it. You can't even work it after it gets a blemish and you redeem it. You certainly can't work a karbon once it's dedicated as a karbon. So Tosfos says, Tosfos right on the side of the Gemara, like, what's going on over here? Right? The Gemara is actually suggesting that it's in your backyard and it's working, and you say to yourself, let it work for another 6 months. I'll bring it up next Yantif. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway, so take a look at Tosfos inside. Tosfos doesn't like this pshat. Tosfos offers a different pshat. You'll see inside. Second Tosfos on the Amud. Okay, good. All right, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll start up with the new Mishnah. You already know what you already know what's coming up in the Mishnah. Machlokas Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. What happens if you dedicate the animal as an ola? Okay. Basic machlokas regarding the Vlad Shlamim, which we already also alluded to earlier this morning. Good. All good things coming up later tomorrow. Learning we do this morning as every morning. Is for a refuah shlema for a refal Zaka Avram ben Yakira Avigail.